Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
Welcome to our morning show on WRCO. Today we have a really timely topic. We're going to take it to the great outdoors, and we have some great knowledge in here in the studio today. We have Brock Rosenkranz, who is the Field of Four coordinator for the National Deer Association. We have Annie McDonald, wildlife biologist. We have Cazenovia area landowner Doug Duren. We have the chairman of CDAC, I should say, John Clare. And then there's Dave. We have Dave, too. Dave Barron. Vice chair. I figured I'd get the first jab in on him today. So Dave Barron is here as well. We appreciate everybody coming in. John, you brought along some friends again today.
Yeah, we did. We're here to talk about the deer hunting season, which has already started, and to talk about some of the things that are on the horizon.
Mm-hmm. What's the weather been like this year in the great outdoors in terms of that and related to wildlife?
Yeah, it's been pretty warm for bull hunting up until recently, but people have been filling some tags, so that's a good thing.
So seasons are underway here. And
they started in mid-September for the archery. We've had a few learn to hunts. Brock can talk about that later, where we get people that are new to hunting a chance to go out and hunt some deer. But it's been taken off, so the time of year that we all look forward to is here.
We might have touched on it last time, but that's kind of how you and Brock kind of got together, is the hunting mentorship program, right?
Right, right. Through the National Wild Turkey Federation, I took Brock out when he was just a lot shorter and a lot smaller, and did some duck and some turkey hunting.
That really made an impact on you, didn't it, Brock?
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely brought me to where I am today.
Indeed. So Turkey kind of the first love that you had, or were you just kind of equal opportunity in the outdoors?
Equal opportunity. That was just one of the first opportunities. I don't think there was a real opportunity to go out with John for deer when I was a kid like that, but I'm sure if there was I would have. I just don't think that we really ever crossed that bridge. My dad would take me out here and there, and we'd go, you know, scare deer, never get much, or anything, I should say. But, yeah, John's mentorship through recent years through trapping has definitely made an impact on me to become the guy that I am with the job that I have now.
Was that your, you know, because at that point, you know, he's the principal. He's a little intimidating. Was that kind of, did that kind of light bulb go on for you at that point then?
And luckily, he was the principal of the high school, and I was at St. Mary's.
Okay.
But with my dad working at the high school, he obviously knew him real well, and that's where that connection got made.
Sure. Are there still a lot of mentorship opportunities?
Oh, Jeff? Plenty of them. There's probably more now than there ever have been.
And they're pretty important, too, aren't they?
They're very important. One of the issues that we face is that the number of hunters is going down because most of them are Dave and my age, and Doug's getting close. And what's happening...
Still not catching up.
No, I hope not. And the problem is that the license sales are going down, and license sales are what generates the money for wildlife management.
Indeed. Doug, did you ever see the day? I mean, back in our day, that was big stuff, you know, the opening of deer hunting, and you pretty much shut the state down. Not quite like that anymore, is it?
Yeah, gun season isn't as, I mean, it's still a great morning, and I still feel like when gun season starts that it's like the night before and Christmas Day. But very different than when we were kids. We just don't, I think it's because the nature of the number of deer that we have, and maybe the nature of the kind of hunting that we're doing, that it doesn't have the emphasis that it once did. So, you know, deer numbers are up. Hunting activity is spread out, and so concentration on one day isn't as much as it used to be.
Well, there used to be fewer seasons, too. That made it a little bit of a difference, too, where that was kind of the spotlight season, too, right?
Well, sure, and in those days, you know, deer management was trying to increase the herd, and these days we're taking a different approach. You remember back in the day, you would have to get four hunters together in, I don't know, July or August to apply for a party tag, which meant you applied for one antlerless tag between four people. That's how few deer we had in those days. They were trying to encourage, you know, you'd get your buck tag and then maybe you would get a doe tag that you could share with four other people. Now, in our county, it's exactly the opposite. You get a buck tag, you get four antlerless tags for gun, and you get four antlerless tags for the bow license as well, which is really a reflection of how many deer that we have and how good a job the DNR has done in managing the deer herd, no matter how much people disparage them about it.
How the deer numbers look on the Duren farm this year?
Well, we kill a lot of deer on our farm. Last year, on the 600 acres that we own and manage, we killed 47 deer, 13 bucks, and the rest were antlerless, mostly does. I guess two of those, Brock will help me remember, two of those were nubbin bucks. And the year before that, we killed 40, and the year before that, 40, the year before that, 35. We kill a lot of deer on our place, and we really have not seen a drop in the population. And I think a lot of that has to do with that deer management is really up to the private landowners, and especially the way the seasons are structured and that the tags are structured, and we don't have tools like Earn a Buck anymore, or the DNR doesn't have those tools. And also, consequently, deer management changes property to property.
Brock, we gave you a long title as we started. Can you tell us what you do?
So I run adult learned hunts, butchering workshops, scouting workshops. I'm running a virtual scouting workshop tonight where I'm having a bunch of people get together on a Zoom meeting and we're just going to go over Onyx maps and talk about gear and stuff like that. All new hunters. Anything that's getting anybody into the outdoors and the shooting sports in particular.
Okay. So has your job title changed? I mean, have you changed over the years since you took over?
So I just started this job last November 5th. So I used to be a private contractor with True Builders here in Nursing Center. Shameless plug. So this is a new thing for me in the last year, but I have also done this with the Wisconsin chapter of Backcountry Hunters and Anglers for the last few years. I'm on their board. I was their R3 coordinator. And then once I got this job, I stepped down from that. Now there's a new guy, Tony Cordero, doing that, who's doing an awesome job. So this is fairly new. This is my first fall having a full docket of running events like this as my full-time career, so it's definitely a change.
Boy, you'd never work a day in your life then, right?
Yeah, I definitely love it.
Love what you do.
Yep.
So, good deal. Let's turn it over to Annie. Annie McDonald, we talked about her a little bit, wildlife biologist. Good morning, Annie. And the first thing we want to do is have you tell us a little bit about yourself.
Good morning. Great to be here and to meet these fine folks from Richland County. I'm Annie McDonald, the new wildlife biologist for both Richland and Grant counties. I'm fresh new to the job. This is my eighth day in this position. Getting to know the area, came down from Rhinelander. This is my third year in the DNR, and I just got to say I'm really impressed so far, and I really appreciate all the effort that the CDAC, the Conservation Congress, and R3 members have been doing in these counties. R3 is such a huge part of conservation, and I've had the opportunity to do waterfowl learn to hunt, and it's just a great opportunity, so I recommend everybody get out there and take advantage of these learning opportunities and these amazing hunt opportunities that we have all fall and winter.
There are some unique opportunities here in the Driftless that maybe you didn't see in your home area of Rhinelander, too, right?
That is very true. We had a very different, you know, antlerless and bonus tag structure, just a very different ecosystem as well. We were in the northern forest, this southern farmland zone, and so completely different structure, different deer herd types, and different population goals and metrics. So it's been fascinating getting up to speed on the Richland and Grant area.
How much time do you spend out in the woods?
I am field oriented. Mm-hmm. So my job is to manage the habitat on the public lands in those two counties. So primarily the Lower Wisconsin State Riverway is a big area that, you know, when you see our truck out there at one of those areas, stop in, say hi. We'll be doing any number of things from, you know, removing invasive species and opening up some forest clearings and just making the habitat better for our game species.
Indeed. The habitat is a lot different than it used to be. You know, there used to be more, you know, cows out on the land and in the woods and things like that. It's a little bit different challenge now, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Dealing with encroaching brush, and now that we have less grazing and, you know, just there's been a lot more time for disturbance, and as development has encroached in some of these areas, a lot more invasive species have come into these areas, and we're trying to open some of these places back up, return them to native grassland or native prairie or savanna or oak barrens, and give our species, you know, more opportunities to have good habitat, food, and cover.
Are there some changes that we should be aware of now as we get into the fall season a little deeper?
You know, I mean, as far as those changes, we'll be out there, you know, planning fire breaks and stuff like that, yep, getting ready for the spring season. But nothing specific right now to be aware of. But, yeah, you'll see us out there doing some brush cutting and some mowing.
And the caution thing right now is how dry it is. I'm sure that's a concern, isn't it?
It sure is. That is very much a concern. With be careful of our fires. There is definitely fire advisories. I think that the one in Grant County just got lifted after the rain a couple of days ago. But, you know, you can find all that information on our website. Be aware of those wind days. It's really dry out there, so make sure to check the website before you do any burning.
And campfires, too. That's something you got to really be careful with, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Make sure that they're dead out and you're following all regulations.
Maybe you could swing the microphone over there to Mr. Barron, too, as well. He came in here. He's been a silent person here in the studio for once, but good to have you. Good to see you, Dave.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
If somebody needs a punching bag, I guess I'm it.
So, CWD, that's one of the things we want to talk about a little bit with you, and are there some changes this year?
Yeah, we've got about 30% positive CWD in Richland County, and it... it's very prevalent, and so I would suggest to everyone to get your deer tested. And, you know, we have Kiasas in Casanova, Boaz, Richland Center at the old sewer plant, and we have one in Ithaca next to the town shed. And we also have dumpsters in those locations. So we keep the carcasses off the land, and our dumpster program has been very successful. We're in partnership with the DNR, and John, there it's a 50-50 now?
No, the way it works is that the sponsors, the archery club that Dave and I are part of, are sponsors, and we pay $500 per dumpster, and then the DNR picks up the rest, and it's quite substantial beyond that, because in most places we switch them out twice.
One of the things you want to encourage, though, Dave, is more usage of those dumpsters, right?
Yeah. I'll go through my spiel like I do every year. I have a problem with people throwing their animals in. No, let's rephrase that. I appreciate people throwing their animals in the dumpster so we keep it off the land. What bothers me is the kiosk is right there. They do not get their deer tested. And the only way we can help solve this problem is to have a deer tested. And some people eat the meat, but the health organization says it won't transfer to humans. I'm not taking that chance. And so, you know, it's... The testing last year, I think you've got your results back in 5 to 8 days.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Brock. I seen 5 and 3.
No,
three.
It's 8.
I said 5 to 8 days. Oh, these guys got to help me out here.
I was watching the sign language there. Did you want to add something, Doug?
Yeah, certainly wouldn't want to correct Dave, but I will I will add to what he said. There's actually five locations in Richland County. The other one is at the Natural Bridge store in Rockbridge. And they're, Sharon Miller and her son do a great job of the extraction work there. And in fact, at my kiosk on the Duren farm, I take my heads over there, and she does the extraction. I sponsor a dumpster along with the Kaz Turkey Busters, thanks to the Kaz Turkey Busters, in at our farm in Casanova, and then we also have one in Rockbridge, and those will be out in a couple of weeks. Testing and carcass disposals are a great things. Getting deer tested makes a lot of sense for the knowledge that a hunter would have. Properly disposing of carcasses makes a lot of sense also, in that we are taking that infectious material off the landscape. But the number one thing that we can do to reduce prevalence and slow the spread of CWD is reduce the size of the deer herd. And we do that by taking antlerless deer. That's good for the deer. It's good for the rest of the biotic community, so that we're not having overbrowsed native species and especially our native shrubs and trees like red and white oak. So it's really important that we reduce the herd population in this county and this area for all of those reasons. And, you know, really doing the best thing, as Elder Leopold would say, for the entire biotic community, not just for one specific species.
The high number of the rate of CWD, do you think that scares some hunters away?
You know, I don't know if it does or not. It shouldn't. I mean, proper handling of the carcass, getting it tested. I'm like Dave. We don't consume the meat of CWD-positive deer. There's a little bit of a lag, but if you're thoughtful about the process, you can wait to find out. There's a multitude of ways to hold on to that carcass until you get the results back. I think that the loss of hunters has as much to do with guys like John and Dave and I getting to the point where we're aging out a little bit. And you can see that in the demographics of the hunting population, that the baby boomers were aging out, right? So that's part of it. I think that also private land access in a county where 95% of the habitat is privately owned, and that some folks are not as willing as others to allow some controlled access to their property is a problem. You know, when we were kids, I hate to keep going back to that, when we were kids, but when we were kids, you know, we were able to pretty much hunt wherever we wanted with permission, and that land ownership has changed. The attitudes about hunting have changed. The purpose of hunting has changed, and some of it for the better and some not. That's part of why I started a program, and Brock has been a part of it. Dave's a part of it. It's called Sharing the Land, which is a private land access initiative where, just like the good old days, you'd help a farmer out, and when it came hunting season, he'd say, yeah, go ahead. Well, we've expanded that on that idea. And essentially, if you go to sharingtheland.com and take a look at how the process works, it's essentially formalizing the idea of bartering, and landowners and access seekers getting together in cooperation to better conservation on the property and provide access to people who don't own land.
Indeed. That's a good way to do it, and you know, get some people out there, maybe invite a hunter. I'm guessing some have had bad experiences. That's probably part of the reason why.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, nothing ruins anything as quickly as one person, right?
Right.
You might have 100 good folks and one jerk, and that jerk can ruin it for everybody else. As a landowner, I certainly would never open my land up again in the way that it was when I was younger, where people just kind of came and went as they wanted to. We had some bad experiences. So back in the day when you had to post your land, we posted our land. And now that's kind of come full circle in that last year, 40 different people hunted our farm. And I know all of them, and they all have made some kind of contribution to conservation. Some of it might be working on the farm. Some of it might be, like when I first met Brock, his work on the Conservation Congress, when he told me that he was having trouble finding a place to hunt, I said, well, heck, come up and hunt with me. You're doing good stuff here. And so his contribution to conservation was something that made me think, well, here's someone I can that I would like to have on my property, as opposed to just whoever pulls up.
What's the situation on elks? Anybody seen one? There's supposedly been some sightings in the area.
Yeah, they're every once in a while you see on Facebook. I know there was one over in the Ithaca area a while ago. Last year, there was one wandered through here, and people saw it or got pictures of it on trail cameras. But been kind of slow this year, and it's usually during the mating season, which is in September for elk. I haven't seen any, but I know there's been some out our way in the past years.
They come from quite a ways away, don't they?
Yeah, they come from the Black River Falls herd, which is a pretty good hike.
Mm-hmm.
And, we're always cognizant that, you know, we're trying to make sure that those don't get shot by accident if they hang around
right
long enough for the deer season.
Now, there is an elk season, right, in some parts of the state? Or
yes, you and I just I apply every year.
So did I.
For $10. No. There are 12 tags and 25,000 applicants.
Oh.
So we're still waiting.
It's like winning the lottery then, isn't it?
It would be better than winning the lottery.
Are elk suspect to CWD? Is that?
Yes.
Is it?
Yes. And that was one of the concerns when we started to see them wandering through here. If they wandered back up to Black River Falls, would they be taking CWD with them? So I guess we've kind of gotten over that. But it's a concern because elk and moose and all the members of the cervid family are susceptible to CWD.
Yeah, there was one spotted down in Bear Valley, and it was a tagged deer from Black River Falls.
Right.
Okay. Fascinating stuff. On the Morning Show, we'll come back with more. We're talking about the great outdoors here today on the Morning Show. We are back to talk about the great outdoors here on the Morning Show from WRCO Radio. In fact, we should do one of these sometimes live from the woods. I think that would be...
That'd be awesome.
That'd be pretty fitting, wouldn't it, John?
From a tree stand, 20 feet up.
Wait a minute. I'm a little afraid of heights here. So we're going to bring on Annie McDonald next, wildlife biologist, and we want to talk a little bit about some of the regulations. We haven't really gone over those, but could you talk firsthand about those, Annie?
Yeah, sure. There's a new regulation in place this year that affects the replacement tags for our CWD positive deer carcasses. So as an incentive to hunters to get their deer tested, we will issue a replacement tag for a deer that is positive for CWD. So for a buck, then that's a replacement buck tag that is statewide, and that tag is either a weapon type. You just have to have the correct permit or authorization to be able to then use that that tag. And those are authorizations are good for the rest of this season as well as the following season. And then a new regulation in place is also for our antlerless deer that get a positive CWD test. You'll have an either sex replacement tag, and that will be county or zone specific. But again, you know, either weapon type, as long as the authorization is in place, and again for both the rest of this season and the following season. So antlerless deer CWD positive, you can get an either sex tag as a replacement in that scenario.
And across the state, you said, too, where you can use that tag then?
Yeah, not for antlerless.
Those will be
dependent on the type of deer that you harvest, and so if it's an antlerless and that's, you know, zone or county specific, then the replacement will be zone or county specific. But for buck, because a buck tag is statewide, that would be statewide.
Okay.
In terms of replacement.
Did you have something to add there?
Yeah, I did. I had a positive deer last year, and the replacement tag came within a week. So if you harvest a deer early, it's possible you can get it to use this year.
Right, and that tag shows up in your Go Wild account on the computer, and as soon as that test gets registered with the state, that tag is there.
Mm-hmm. Are there kits for lymph nodes testing as well? What's that?
So you can take your deer to the kiosk and drop the head for DNR testing. There are kits for at-home testing. There's a video to watch on the DNR website on how to extract those lymph nodes and get them sent off. But you can easily, you know, take them to a kiosk, take them to a person who also works with us, a contributor.
Brock?
And the DNR testing facility has actually asked us, the public, to stop testing their own just to run through the process of cutting the head off, put it in the kiosk. They've got the workers to do it properly. There's too many chunks of fat or salivary glands that people are sending in, or chunks of lymph nodes. You can get the test off of just a chunk of the lymph node, but they do prefer the whole thing. So if you want to get it tested, just cut the head off. It's a lot easier to do.
And we let the professionals do it then.
Yep, exactly.
We started doing that last year at our hunting camp. I started taking the lymph nodes out, but we'll stop doing that because they'd rather have the whole head.
Yeah, I was talking this weekend during our Learn to Hunt, and I asked the question, what if I get a good-sized buck? I don't want to cut the head off of it. And Brock told me, he says, take it to Rockbridge, and Sharon out there will remove the lymph node, and you keep the head. You don't have to send it in. So if you get a buck and you want to mount it, take it to Rockbridge. They'll extract a lymph node, and you're good to go on the test.
Very good to know. You wanted to talk. Go ahead, Doug.
I would hate to correct Dave, but the other thing that you can do is take your deer to a taxidermist who's going to cape it out, and then they cut the skull cap out if you're getting it mounted, you know, a shoulder mount or something like that. And then you can drop that head off, what's left of it, the skinned out head, in to the kiosk as well, because the lymph nodes don't come out. When they cape out your deer for a shoulder mount, they're just taking the hide off of it. And in fact, Jim Klang, Lone Birch Taxidermy near Casanova, has been doing that a lot for people. And he just tells them, look, the lymph nodes are still in there. Take that head down to Rockbridge or to one of the kiosks and drop it off. And if it's positive, you'll get a replacement buck tag. And so the taxidermist is another place. They're not doing the extraction, but they are taking the skin off. But Dave is right. And stuck
that's
in
painful
my
painful for you. To
I'm sorry that kind of stuck in my throat a little bit. But Dave is right that Sharon and her son at Rockbridge are one of the places that will do extractions and can do it on site. So if you're just doing a skull mount, you can go in and they'll take it out right away, and then you can take your head right along with you.
Brock, you wanted to talk a little bit about Learn to Hunt.
Yeah, so we've had a couple of pretty successful ones this year. We won, actually three of them. One was a one-off that we did a giveaway with Vortex and Doug out at his property. A real lucky fellow got to come out from Colorado on his very first hunt, even though it was a nationwide giveaway that Vortex ran. And we took him out, and he shot his first couple of antlerless deer. We ran one over in the Monroe and Vernon County areas on the last weekend of September. There was 10 new adult hunters, eight of which shot their first deer, so that was a really successful hunt. That was, everybody obviously went away pretty happy on that one, which is the norm on these hunts. Then we just ran one this last weekend at John's. That one was just for five people, but two people ended up shooting their first deer antlerless again. And again, just great time. It's really getting to show these people what deer camp is all about and the camaraderie surrounding this, not just the hunting, and showing that whole process. One of the guys that got a deer this weekend said, gosh, I thought the hard part was going to be shooting the deer. I didn't realize that there was going to be this whole process afterwards. And he got a little bit more of a rodeo with his. His ended up going into a pond, and we found it the next morning. But deer was still fine. Water kept it nice and cool, and it was a cool night. But, yeah, so we've had some really successful hunts. We've got a couple more coming up in December that antlerless weekend, and then in between now and then, we've got a couple of butchering workshops going on, a canning workshop at Sandhill Wildlife Area. I'm running a virtual scouting workshop tonight, actually, and so if anybody's interested in any of that stuff, all that's listed on the DNR website under the events page, And if anybody is also willing or looking to get into mentoring, hit me up. I would love to talk to you no matter where you're at. We have a lot of hunts that go on mainly in the southern portion of the state. That's where we have a lot of deer and can have a surplus of them to get these new hunters out on some of them. But yeah, if you want to hit me up, my number is 608-475-0751, or my email is brock@deerassociation.com. Yeah, I'd love to talk to anybody that would want to either get out in the woods or take somebody out in the woods.
Stay tuned for the second half of today's morning show program on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE. Coming up, though, in just a moment, we'll have a look at today's news.
Cardinal Rotar is hiring experienced machine operators who want a better work-life balance. They offer a 3-day work week with no weekends, giving you more free time and flexibility. If you're tired of the typical 5-day schedule, this is your chance. Call 608-588-9880 or stop by their location at 1277 East Hoxie Street in Spring Green to fill out an application in person. Cardinal Rotar is excited to welcome you to their team. Call 608-588-9880 today.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
News time at 6:30 is sponsored by Court and Main Furniture and Mattress, helping you create the home you can't wait to come home to. Sunny and rather breezy today, a high of 65, south winds at 12 to 22 miles per hour, and clear and crisp tonight, 39 for a low. It's been clear overnight. In fact, still a good possibility. You can see the moon pretty well. 25 was the low. We're at 27 degrees.
Looking for some adorable Halloween and fall decor? Head on down to Court and Main in downtown Richland Center. Right now, everything Halloween and fall is 50% off. From cute pumpkins to cozy throw blankets, festive table settings, and charming wall art, you'll find everything you need to get into the spooky spirit at a great price. We're open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, and Saturdays, 9 to noon. Come visit us. We can't wait to see you.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Phil Nee. Wisconsin voters wishing to use ballot drop boxes will have fewer opportunities than in the past. Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf says available data indicates there are at least 78 drop boxes in use in at least 48 communities across Wisconsin. Local clerks are not required to notify WEC if they plan to use the boxes. In 2020, there were approximately 500 drop boxes in use for the presidential election, and for the many years prior to the 2020 election, there were many additional drop boxes in use as well. In 2022, the Wisconsin Supreme Court's conservative majority struck down their use. The court's liberal majority reversed that decision earlier this year. Madison and Milwaukee have 14 drop boxes apiece. Racine has 7. All three cities are Democratic strongholds. Most municipalities that report having drop boxes have just one, usually located near City Hall. Absentee voting in Wisconsin begins next Tuesday. Vice President Kamala Harris will be in Wisconsin today for a trio of campaign appearances. The Democratic presidential candidate will be in La Crosse, Milwaukee, and Green Bay in her sixth trip to Wisconsin since she became the party's nominee this summer. Her running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, was in Wisconsin earlier this week after a possible visit here and there. Republican nominee Donald Trump has no event scheduled for Wisconsin. He's making appearances in other battleground states this week. Also in the news, a request to investigate possible intimidation of young voters in Wisconsin.
The League of Women Voters of Wisconsin and the group Free Speech for People sent U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland and Wisconsin AG Josh Call a letter this week requesting an investigation into whether anonymous text messages sent to college students amount to a form of voter intimidation. The groups cite texts to thousands of young people warning that violating state elections law could mean fines of up to $10,000 or 3.5 years in prison. Wisconsin allows college students from other states to choose whether to vote here or in their home state. Bob Hague, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Two people were injured in a head-on crash earlier this week, Monday afternoon at 3:45. The Richland County Dispatch received a report of the crash at the intersection of U.S. Highway 14 and J Lane. The initial investigation revealed that Kai Wong, 56, of Lake Forest, Illinois, was traveling westbound on U.S. Highway 14 when he crossed over the center line into the eastbound lane. Sabrina Ryder, 46, of Richland Center, was driving eastbound and spotted Wong's vehicle in her lane. Unfortunately, both drivers were unable to avoid the impending collision and crashed head-on. Sabrina Ryder required extrication from her vehicle by the Lone Rock Fire Department before being transported to Richland Hospital by Lone Rock EMS. Due to the severity of her injuries, she was later airlifted to UW Hospital via UW MedFlight for further treatment. Kai Wong was also transported to Richland Hospital for his injuries by Richland County Ambulance. The city of Green Bay is not exactly leaping to extend the Packers' Lambeau Field lease, so the team is asking the Green Bay Professional Football Stadium District to step in. On Wednesday, the team released letters it sent both to Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich and to the Stadium District Board. The Packers' lease for Lambeau Field with Green Bay and the Stadium District ends in 2032. There are options to extend it 10 additional years, but the Packers recently tried extending it by 30 years until 2063. The team says Genrich has not met with his officials since January and that Genrich requested that any further discussions be preceded by a meeting with Packers President CEO Mark Murphy. The Packers say the two met in May, but Genrich canceled a follow-up meeting in September and has not rescheduled. Farmers who are impacted by Hurricane Helene are getting help from Wisconsin farmers by delivering hay for their animals in North Carolina and Tennessee. A Merrill farmer, Hans Breitmoser, sent 54 large bales of hay to North Carolina. He says it was important for him to give back to those who need it most. This initiative was started by Innovations Fremark, a widow supplier in Merrill. And so far, 10 trucks from across the country have delivered hay to states impacted by the hurricanes. They say they've gathered 14,000 large round bales, 450 large square bales, and 4,000 small bales of hay through donations. They are currently looking for more drivers to take more hay down to impacted states. Andrew Levitt became the 11th chancellor for UW Oshkosh when he took over in 2014, and he will continue as a faculty member and professor of chemistry. Levitt says he always believed a 10-year term would be sufficient, and serving longer deprives UW Oshkosh of the fresh vision it deserves. Universities of Wisconsin President Jay Rothman says he is grateful for Levitt's service to UW Oshkosh, its campus community, and the entire state. Levitt is now the third chancellor in the UW system to announce their departure this year. Levitt's resignation goes into effect June 30th of next year. And a reminder, the Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination Grace annual meeting will be held tonight at 6 at the Phoenix Center in Richland Center. All teams are encouraged to attend to receive plaques and plates. Research checks will also be handed out at tonight's event. The Medicare annual enrollment period has begun. By now, you should have received your 2025 annual notice of change from your insurance provider. It can be overwhelming to understand all the upcoming changes on your own, but don't worry. Local licensed agents Robin McCauley and John Johnson are here to help. They each represent three of the top Medicare carriers in our area. Call Robin at 608-332-4454 or John at 608-332-0067 to schedule a personal appointment today. That's Robin at 608-332-4454 or John at 608-332-0067. Sunny and rather breezy today, a high of 65. South winds at 12 to 22. Clear and crisp tonight and a low of 39. Sunny, breezy, and warmer Friday and a high of 70. And then an awesome weekend for October, 72 Saturday and 75 on Sunday. We've been as low as 25. Right now, north to northwest winds are at 2 miles per hour, and it is 27 degrees.
Donald Trump's import sales tax plan would cost the average American family almost $4,000 a year more for everyday necessities, like groceries, school supplies, medications, clothes, gas. $3,900 more added to your cart every year.
Donald Donald Trump plans to impose what is, in effect, a national sales tax. It will mean higher prices on just about every one of your daily needs. A Trump tax on gas. A Trump tax on food. Instead of a Trump tax hike, we will pass a middle-class tax cut that will benefit more than 100 million Americans. I will help families by letting you keep more of your hard-earned money.
Learn more at thetrumptax.com. Paid for by voters of these 50 states. Votersofthese50states.com. Voters of these 50 states is responsible for the content of this advertising, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Sports Time is sponsored by Simon's Recreation Complex. Dive into greater community and healthier living. And by the Homesteader Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. A look at the local schedule coming up as well. Details on the upcoming weekend for the Badger football team. And also as the Packers prepare to take on the Houston Texans.
A Kubota tractor will help you get all those jobs done fast and easy. Hi, I'm Rick from the Homesteader Store. Kubota is known for their high-quality four-wheel drive diesel tractors. They have hydrostatic transmissions, loaders, and three points. They offer great financing. You can go to our website where you can watch a short video where I go through the different sizes of Kubota tractors to fit your needs. Learn about the full line of Kubota tractors at Southern Wisconsin Tractor Experts, the Homesteader Store.
On the local and area schedule tonight, high school volleyball will be on hand at Ithaca as the Bulldogs try to cap off a season in which they finish all alone in first place. Seneca is a match back, so the Bulldogs guaranteed at least a share with a win earlier this week. Ithaca hosts Waseca Steuben, and that'll be around a 7:15 start time tonight. Seneca will be at Lafarge Youth Initiative and DeSoto at Kickapoo in the Ridge and Valley Conference. Weston is playing at North Crawford as teams wrap up the last day of the regular season. Mineral Point will be at Iowa Grant in the SWAL and Boscobel at Fenimore. Riverdale travels to Southwestern this evening and Darlington at Cuba City. Richland Center plays its final regular season match with a home match up against Prairie du Chien. And the Hornets trying to stay in first place, tied with Platteville with the same record. Platteville will be at River Valley this evening in Southwest Wisconsin Conference action. Also from the area tonight. Dodgeville plays at Lancaster and Reedsburg at Madison Memorial. The Northwestern Wildcats are coming off their best game of the season when they travel to Wisconsin this weekend. They obliterated the Maryland team 37-10 last time out. The visitors to Camp Randall Stadium say winning the turnover battle is the key to winning the Big Ten Conference game. Successful at running the ball earlier in the season, the Wildcats hope to exploit a Badger defense that has struggled when defending the ground game. In football news, it's the new weekend of the NFL tonight. Denver plays at New Orleans. And in Packer news, Houston Texans head coach DeMeco Ryan says his team will be facing the best quarterback it has seen this season in Jordan Love. The Texans have become an NFL power in less than a season and a half. Houston's defense has made life miserable for several opposing quarterbacks, including MVP candidate Josh Allen. Despite missing two games, Love is second in the league with a dozen touchdown passes. On the other hand, he's also second in passes intercepted with a total of six. Sunday kickoff at Lambeau Field will be at noon. Hear the action on WRCO FM 100.9. Shohei Ohtani hit a three-run home run to punctuate the Los Angeles Dodgers' 8-0 victory over the Mets in Game 3 of the National League Championship Series. Kike Hernandez hit a two-run shot to make it 4-0 in the sixth inning and waved to the Citi Field crowd he had quieted. Los Angeles rebounded from a loss at home and grabbed a 2-1 lead in the best-of-seven series by pitching its fourth shutout in the past five playoff games. Ohtani connected in the eighth inning, a 410-foot drive that soared into the second deck in right field. Max Muncy went deep in the ninth for his 13th career postseason home run. Two Brewers prospects are looking at the possibility of moving up and getting some playing time. Top Prospect Brock Wilken is one of the Brewers playing, competing in the Arizona Complex League. Wilken is still trying to bounce back from taking a fastball to the ribs last May. Although he's ranked Milwaukee's eighth best minor leaguer, he hit just 199 in Double A last season with 17 home runs. The Brewers hope to develop Wilken's plus power for the big league lineup as soon as possible. The Bucks have signed former Marquette standout Henry Ellenson to an Exhibit 10-day contract. If he performs well, that agreement could be converted to a two-day deal, which would also let him land with the G League Wisconsin Herd. The 27-year-old Ellenson has played 83 NBA games with four teams and has been playing overseas since 2021. The Athletic initially reported that signing. The Bucks preparing for their final preseason game of the season. They are in Dallas tonight. And Bobby Portis had comments this week about the offseason.
It's been fun, man, especially this preseason. We've been practicing a lot more than we probably ever have, and we've been getting better as well. So I like our chances this year.
That's a look at sports. I'm Phil Nee. You're only as old as you feel may be a cliche, but it holds some truth. Exercising can boost your energy, improve your mood, and lower your stress. At Simon's Recreation Complex, they have many older adult members who prove every day that you are never too old to exercise. Don't worry about your budget.
That's awesome for an adult that's never been a part of it, maybe didn't grow up in a deer hunting family. That's an awesome opportunity because you don't feel like you're a part. You feel like you're an outsider, perhaps, from the deer culture. That's a good chance for you to get involved, isn't it?
Yep, absolutely. That's the biggest chance to get involved. And I just wanted to touch on that. When we're talking about R3, I don't think anybody clarified that. R3 is reactivation, recruit, and retention. So it's not just recruiting new hunters, it's reactivating people who have fallen out of hunting. So, you know, they used to do it as a kid, maybe now they're an adult and they want to get back into it. And the retention aspect, that's where we have these butchering and cooking and canning workshops, people who have taken the classes, or people like Doug or Dave or John. If anybody's looking to learn how to can, you know, I don't know if anybody does, but you can go and do that. If you've hunted for 40 years and you want to learn how to can your own meat or learn how to process a deer better from a professional butcher, you're more than able to come to my classes. It's not just for new people.
What about the Doe Derby? Do you want to talk about that, Doug?
Yeah, so again, to come up with a way of incentivizing harvesting more deer and bring back some of the old school camaraderie of getting together. Remember when we used to have to take our deer to a gas station or a bar or something and register it? Mm-hmm. Well, that went away a few years ago. And what we did with what I've done with the help of Brock and some other folks, Dave and John both have been a part of this as well, is we started a thing called the Casanova Doe Derby. And because of opportunities and folks that I know in the outdoor world, I'm able to gather prizes. Like our first prize this year, our grand prize will be a Savage Access 2 in 6.5 Creedmoor rifle in 6.5 Creedmoor, mounted with a Vortex scope and a really nice custom leather strap. And that'll be our number one prize. We've got some trail cameras from Cuddyback. $500 gift certificate to First Light Clothing. Man, I'm going to start leaving people out. I should probably not have started with that whole thing. But we're gathering prizes. My friends at Meat Eater, the outdoor media show, has every year they donate something. Camp Chef, which is some outdoor cooking gear, donate things. And the way it works is you come to our kiosk, or you bring the head of your deer to our kiosk, or the one in Laval, or the one in Reedsburg. Those are the three that are part of this. And you submit your deer for testing, and in that kit are two raffle tickets, and you just fill out the raffle tickets. There's no cost, and you just leave them in the bag, and then I take them out, and if it's Dave's, I throw them out. But everybody else's gets entered in. Everybody else's gets entered into this raffle, and it's been really fun. On the Saturday night, this year it'll be December 14th of the antlerless hunt. We have a bonfire and a gathering at the farm, and it's that's where we do the first drawing, and then we have to do a second drawing, which is a virtual one after the entire season is over with. And so some of that has brought back this idea of getting together and talking about deer hunting and just and hanging out and giving people reason to get their deer to harvest an antlerless deer and get it tested. The last thing I'll say about that is the reason we put two tags in or two raffle tickets into that kit is that we encourage people to fill one out for themselves, the hunter to fill one out for themselves, but then also fill one out for the landowner that where they hunted or a mentor who's helped them getting into hunting, helped them get into hunting, or just someone that they know that, you know, it could be a reward for them for being a good conservationist.
No doubt. You were talking a little bit about there. I was reminiscing in my head back in the day again.
when I was a kid.
We always used to keep track of the first deer registered in the county. That was a big deal. And then us as a radio station, we would call Rockbridge and the bowling alley and Boaz and, you know, Casanova. And we'd have a tabulation after free. We don't have that anymore. And I think that's kind of lost a little bit too, don't you think?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I understand why it happened, right? It's very easy and efficient to register your deer online. Man, you just go on to the Go Wild website or the phone number that DNR has listed and you just pop it right in. And for a lot of different reasons, it's real easy to do that. But something was lost with that. You know, that people talk about deer hunting traditions, and some of them I think are fine that they're gone. But others, I think that gathering and that knowing, like, right away what it is, and you guys kind of getting, you know, generating excitement about it. And I think that's something that we've lost that, I mean, again, I understand why, but, you know, things aren't used to go like that. Now it goes like this. You know, things aren't what they used to be.
Yeah, it's a lot more streamlined. And, of course, you have to get your phone right there, too, to
right,
do all the work.
Right.
So, absolutely. We'll be back with a final word in a moment about the upcoming seasons here on WRCO. Interesting topics here on the morning show from WRCO Radio. John Clare, did you have some info that you wanted to share?
I just want to mention that we have a number of opportunities for folks to hunt. The archery crossbow season opened up on September 14th and goes here in the county till January 31st with archery gear and crossbows. The youth hunt already occurred. That was October 5th through the 6th. The gun deer season opens up real late this year. It's November 23rd through the 1st of December. There's a muzzleloader hunt after that for 10 days, which is awesome because I'm a muzzleloader guy, and it's a great time to get out and fill a buck tag if you haven't filled one already with your rifle and collect some venison through a doe harvest or two. There's an antlerless-only hunt following that directly, December 12th through the 15th. And then here in Richland County, we also allow an antlerless-only holiday hunt, which is December 24th through the 1st of January. So plenty of time to hunt with whatever weapon you like.
We also, I'm the correcting guy. I'm really loath to correct John, but I will add that is we also extended the bow hunt through the month of January.
I misread it. January 31st.
Yep. Interesting that the gun deer season is that late, too. That could change things a little bit, couldn't it, John?
Right. Usually if it's earlier, you catch the end of the breeding season or the rut. This year, the rut should be well done by the time the rifle season opens up.
Dave Barron, how was the fishing season this year? How did that go for you?
You know what? It's really funny. I didn't fish that much
this
year.
You didn't? Oh,
no.
Okay. We put you on the spot.
Yeah. Well, we closed our guide business down.
Oh, you did? Okay.
So I thought I'd have plenty of time to fish, but I cut more grass and
did
stuff I was supposed to do around the house.
Well, we wanted to talk a little bit about herd population as well, right?
Right. I'm going to put our deer biologists on the spot here. we in the CDAC hear constantly is, why are you guys giving out four doe tags? We don't have any deer in Richland County. And so I'm going to ask Danny, the population, how much square miles acreage of deer habitat we have. So,
okay,
there's my question, Annie.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for the question. So as of post-hunt last year, 2023, the DNR Office of Applied Sciences releases their abundance estimate for statewide deer population as well as by zone and county. And as of last year, Richland County had an estimate of 32,400 deer here just in this county. Like I said, that was post-hunt. So, of course, there's been recruitment since then in the spring, and which is will increase the population. And Richland County, it's a relatively small county, 589 square miles. 81% of that is deer, is recognized as deer habitat. So meaning that it's got woodland, lowland, swamp, and then a 100-yard buffer within those areas. So really great, you know, habitat, lots of deer out there on the landscape for the most part. But again, only 4% of Richland County is public. So, yeah. You know, think about those local landowners and making those connections.
I'm curious, how do they estimate? I mean, obviously the deer aren't registering to vote here, so how
are we? Yeah, we don't take a census. It's a little bit more difficult than that. There's some, you know, sophisticated modeling techniques, but from hunter registration based on the age and the sex of the deer that have been registered, as well as our summer monitoring and our fawn to doe ratio. So we have a number of different monitoring techniques and survey techniques, all of which go into the model to give us a pretty good estimate of herd abundance.
So we need more hunters then, in other words, right?
I have another question for her. Don't you, in the late summer, early fall, have citizens out counting deer on what they see when they drive around?
Yes, that's a great point. Yeah, thank you. We do have an opportunity for people to get involved in citizen science research in the summer deer count. And so it's a pretty easy scenario. You just download a simple app on your phone and follow the guidelines. And you basically just report the bucks, does, and fawns that you see along the road or when you're out hiking or walking, doing normal daily activities. And that information helps us determine abundance.
Okay, good to know. Brock, I know that you're watching other people shoot now. Do you get more satisfaction out of shooting your own game or when somebody else bags something?
It's a thrill either way. The guy that I had out with the Vortex hunt at Doug's this year, when he shot his first one out of the two, I was shaking like a leaf. I was pretty stoked for him. But then, you know, once the season comes, we do such a high harvest rate out at Doug's anymore. Unfortunately, some of that thrill has gotten taken away with this management practice that we're having to do nowadays, but I still look forward to it. I'm waiting for the, I should even know that, 23rd, right, John? Yeah, we're waiting for the 23rd. It's coming, it can't come soon enough, so those 9 days I'm going to be parked out in the woods.
Awesome. There's a raffle. Maybe you could talk about that, Doug.
So, yeah, our Doe Derby raffle, just while we were on break, it just went from the Cazenovia Doe Derby to the Richland County Doe Derby. We are going to be putting raffle tickets in all of the other all of the other kiosk locations in the kits. Again, it's real simple. You fill out your kit. You submit your antlerless deer. There's two raffle tickets in there. Fill one out for yourself, fill one out for the landowner that allowed you to hunt, or for a mentor or someone special to you. And if that someone special to you is yourself, you can fill out two for yourself as well. But Dave and John and the other folks are volunteering to also collect those. So we just expanded the Cazenovia Doe Derby to the Richland County Doe Derby. It's real straightforward. You'll see directions at the kiosks. And that's exciting, and hopefully we'll get more involvement, and we'll have more people at our little gathering on December the 14th.
I hope so. Anything else anybody would like to add this morning?
We just urge people to get out and have a good time in the woods and shoot some deer.
Great to meet you, Annie.
Nice to meet you.
Come back again. You don't have to come with this motley crew if you don't.
My pleasure.
If you don't want to. Annie McDonald, Brock Rosenkranz, Doug Duren, John Clare, Dave Barron in the studio to talk about the upcoming hunts. Thanks for joining us on the morning show.
March into savings now at All American Do It Center. Save $4 with online rebate when you buy 2 quarts of Rust-Oleum black or white paint on sale at $12.99 each before rebate. Save $10 on a 22.5-inch folding sawhorse pair, now $29.97. Or save $15 on a Black & Decker 20-volt max cordless drill kit for only $54.99. March into savings until the 24th at All American Do It Center in Thomas, Sparta, and Richland Center. All-American.
Tired of counting sheep? Hi, this is Travis with Wirtz Floor and Home. Did you know that 1/3 of your life is spent sleeping? The 7 to 9 hours we should spend catching Z's helps the body heal itself, activate the immune system, and give your heart a break. Want to sleep on a Wisconsin-made high-quality mattress? Stop down to our new sister company, Bed & Linen, located on Highway 14, Spring Green, and let us show you why we wake up so refreshed.
Looking for some adorable Halloween and fall decor? Head on down to Court & Main in downtown Richland Center. Right now, everything Halloween and fall is 50% off. From cute pumpkins to cozy throw blankets, festive table settings, and charming wall art, you'll find everything you need to get into the spooky spirit at a great price. We're open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, and Saturdays, 9 to noon. Come visit us. We can't wait to see you.